This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending him his greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In the previous surah we mentioned the psychological nature of the human being, of being worried about what the final end would be. That will the good believers get their due reward will be given to them. And with those who disbelieve, who transgress upon this earth, will the due punishment be given to those individuals, if not inside this dunya, but indeed inside al-akhirah. That same psychological theme continues inside today's surah of giving us that encouragement that for good people there will be a good ending and for bad people there will be a bad ending on evil chastisement that awaits them. Because as we mentioned many times as human beings, many of us, we despair, especially the world politics around us, the world status around us, that many of us, we may feel an element of frustration that where is their justice? Where is there going to be this glory for Muslims? Where is there going to be glory for the Muslim Ummah? And the simple answer is that many of us is a lack of reading of the Qur'an. Sunnatullahi lal-ard. Sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this earth that certain things begin to take place and He allows them to take place. Hikmatullahi baligha. Immense wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can question and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala why He does certain things or why did He do them? Why did He do it like this? No one can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The infinite wisdom and understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far beyond any comprehension. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِعِلْمِهِ شَيْئًا. No one can encompass and understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All that we have inside the Qur'an is glimmers inside the Qur'an to remind us as human beings that we need to persevere, that at the end of that journey there will be the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If not, then there's no purpose of placing us upon this earth, in giving us our due reward upon this earth, giving us glad tidings upon this earth. Then if a person can use such words, it's futile. There's no point in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placing us upon this earth. Allah placed us upon this earth to test us and to trial us, to see who amongst us. هو الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. Allah created death because death is yaqeen, certainty that once you're in this world, you're going to die, you're going to leave. And He created life, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, to see who's going to be, not أَكْثَرُ عَمَلًا, who's going to be the best in actions, in servitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. In the end of Surah Al-Hijr that we find, carry on worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until al-yaqeen comes to you, bima'na al-maut. So the believer doesn't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in calamities, in good times, on Yawm al-Jum'ah, in Ramadan, one day, adversities, hardships, difficulties, trials, tribulations. Wa'bud rabbaka hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen. Forever persevere in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even in those years of perseverance and ta'ah and obedience, ma yusawwi shay inda Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't mean anything in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 50, 60 years of ibadah, it means nothing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In some narrations which are weak in nature, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just to take just the eye of the human being, just to compare your good deeds to just one eye, The blessing of the eye outweighs your years of ibadat, your years of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ma yusawi shay, doesn't mean anything in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see is the attempt, the trial, the effort of the human being. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see. That's the sir of who's going to continuously persevere, drop and lift himself up and continue the journey, make mistakes, sin, do wrong things, get themselves up and continue. That's why Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah in his works, his magnanimous work of Madarij al-Salikin, steps of the travelers, He discusses that hatta al-anbiya, even the messengers, that those choices, wrong choices that they made, or mistakes that they made, that made them excel even higher in their rank. That's what he concludes. For us human beings, ayy ma'asiyah, any disobedience, it bounces a person more forward to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It shouldn't leave a person to come down. Person shouldn't despair. That's why many of the ulama have concluded that the believer is never feels upset within himself. Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa. Surah Taha, the 20th surah of the Qur'an. Study this surah, the miraculous nature of this surah. Kullu ayah tukhtam bi alif maqsura. Every single ayah inside this surah ends with alif maqsura. It's a miracle in itself. That's a wonder. Ulama wrote a whole PhD dissertation, Surah Taha. Ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa. Quran hasn't been sent down to make you feel upset, fatigue and tiredness, and to be worried. Quran illuminates the person. Yuhyi al-qulub, gives life to the heart, gives life to the person. That's what the Quran does. And because many of us are far away from the Quran, that's why we become overcome. We become over sad, we become over worried. But a person who lives their journey of the Quran sees the miraculous nature of the Quran, sees the journey of the Quran, that there's always going to be kalimatullahi hiya al-ulya. The word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always be lofty, will always be supreme. The all ending will always be for the believing individuals. And that's what this surah, it focuses upon, reassuring us that the oppressors, the transgressors, that they're not going to escape from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, it touches upon the human being that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the human being certain things, he becomes arrogant, he becomes proud. Look at the nature of the human being. When wealth, prestige, honor, dignity, position, authority, something is given to the human being, sifatul amma, in general, look at the human being. What does he begin to do? Becomes full of himself, becomes proud, thinks that I'm deserving of this, that it's my right. Read Qissa of Qarun. Qarun says, I deserve this. This wealth and everything has been given to me, I deserve it, it should be given to me. Nafsul kalimat, same words that we find today, people will say, we deserve this. It should belong to us. We're a family of heritage and lineage and wealth and power and glory, so it should belong to us. Allah knows that it should be given to us. Nafsul mantiq, the same logic, the same concept, the same understanding. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes these people inside the Quran and what is the end of such individuals. And likewise, we find punishment and reward that Allah will give out. And amongst the most greatest of depictions of Al-Akhir is mentioned inside this surah, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا, that your Lord will come and his angels in rows. You know, some of us, when we read the Quran, we fall into this concept, an analytical study of the Quran. Does it mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will physically come? Does it mean this? وَجَاءَ أَمْرُ رَبَّكَ, the command of your Lord come. Leave all of this aside and focus on the message of the Quran. As Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen inside his tafsir, he mentions, ponder over azamatu hadhi al-yawm. Ponder over the greatness of this day. La natasawwaru, we cannot imagine the greatness of this day. But this day is amma yatasa'alun anin naba'il azim. A great day. This is going to be beginning of Surah Al-Hajj. That you find that people, that when the day of judgment comes, وَتَرَى النَّاسَ السُّكَارَى وَمَا هُمْ بِالسُّكَارَى وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. People will see in a state of drunkenness, intoxication, losing their mind, running here, there. The woman will drop her load, a pregnant woman will drop her child in the fear of the day of judgment. The earth will begin to shake. Why? Why is this going to happen to people? Why? Because the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is severe. When people see the last day, when people see death, waqtul gharghar, that you find the time of when the soul leaves the body, la tawbah hunak. There's no tawbah. There's no repentance when you see the angel of death coming right in front of you. There's no point repenting then. Because that is the final straw. That now you say, as Fir'aun, Al-an, waqad asayta min qabl. Now you want to believe. Now you want to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what Fir'aun said. He now, when he saw the angel, when he saw Jibreel coming to him, now he wanted to say, now I believe. But Jibreel stuffed the dirt, the mud into his mouth, that this individual, Fir'aun, he doesn't deserve to utter anything of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't deserve it. Does he find, man kana akhiru kalami la ilaha illallah, dakhal al-jannah. It's not trivial. Whoever's final words are la ilaha illallah, dakhal al-jannah. That's your final words. ومت على ذلك واليقين بهذه الكلمات, and you believe in these words, تدخل الجنة بالسلام, will enter into paradise. When was the last time we heard someone say لا إله إلا الله عند الموت? When was the last time? Because it's a rare commodity. We're not here to judge people. We pray that all Muslims are on their way to Jannah and enter into Jannah swiftly. But this miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very rare. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give tawfiq to people who live la ilaha illallah inside this dunya, will give them the utterance when they leave in this dunya as well. And that's what a person should pray for. That their final words are words of praise, of tahmid and tahleel and takbir, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus we find we need to affirm and not delve in understanding of dissecting about belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that sense. We need to begin to understand the perception of preparation. That's what aqa'id, that's what belief is. Belief isn't just dogma, it isn't just studying how people deviated. That many of us, we thrive on that. Many of the shabab, they thrive on that. That this person deviated from the path, this person is astray. Their essence is preparation. That's what we should be worried about. What is my isti'dad li yawm al-akhir? What is my preparation for the last day? What have I equipped myself for the last day? And as you find Surah Al-Fajr in today's surah that we find, that this surah is approximately the 8th surah sent down. And some of the ulama tafaseer, they mention this comes straight after Surah Al-Layl. In chronological order in terms of revelation, because straight after Layl comes, the morning, Al-Fajr, it begins. And Sheikh Salman inside his tafsir, Ishraqat Al-Qur'aniyya, he mentions this surah is an early surah, sent down at a time of shada'id, difficulties. At the time of the beginning message of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the message inside his surah shows that this is an early Meccan surah whereby there were difficulties that Islam was facing and its reassurance had to be given. Just like today we spoke about reassuring ourselves. The Muslims had to be reassured that this path of suffering and hardship and torture and difficulty is going to exist. And at the end of that path, there's going to be due reward for those individuals who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, min fada'il hadhi surah, in the hadith of Sunan Imam Nisa'i, as you mentioned many times, the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, whereby he's given the title of being Al-Fatan, when leading the people in prayer, lead with easy surah, Surah Al-A'la, Surah Al-Layl, and certain words of Surah Al-Nisa'i that we find, read Surah Al-Fajr, when you lead the people inside their prayer. Wal-Fajr, this qasam that we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after this surah, quite a few surahs begin to take an oath by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And this shows, as ulama mentioned, the greatness whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a qasam via time, via makan, via place, via something, it shows the importance of this. Even if we take the easy meaning, even as aqwal muta'addida fi ma'ani al-fajr, even we take the basic thing that comes to our mind, is al-fajr, the time of fajr. Two basic things that we could take as average individuals. Amma salatu subh, salatu al-fajr, the actual fajr prayer itself. Aw waqt al-fajr. Two basic understandings that we can just take and conclude within our mind. If we take the meaning of salatu al-fajr, where are we from Salatul Al-Fajr? Where is this Muslim Ummah from Salatul Al-Fajr? Which is the beginning of the Muslim, the beginning of the believer. أَثْقُلُ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَى الْمُنَافِقِينَ. The most difficult prayer for the hypocrites is Salatul Fajr and Salatul Isha. And if you knew what the reward would existed, you would come to it. Kalimat fil hadith habwan. Habwan means to crawl like a baby, to crawl. If you knew the reward, you would, wherever you are, you would crawl to come for Salatul Fajr. You know, al-munafiqun, the hypocrites, they never miss Fajr behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Never, they were munafiqun. Tasawwaru hadha. Think about this, ponder about this. They were hypocrites. And they never miss Salatul Fajr. We are believers. And how many times do we miss Salatul Fajr? And we think nothing of it. We find it trivial. We find it's not that important. Asas hadhihi al-ummah. The foundation of this Muslim ummah. Foundation of strength, of iman, of victory, of glory, Salatul Fajr. The Prophet ﷺ, when he entered into a town, he said, if you don't hear the adhan for Fajr, then you may attack that town. You may enter upon that town. That's the beginning of the warriors. Ruhban bil Layl. They are, by night, they are monks, worshippers. By night, they are warriors by day. That's what they are. That's what the Sahaba were. In a night stance of prayer, you find them. And in day that you find them, ferocious individuals. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, you have to read about his seerah to understand about the strength, not just strength of iman, strength of al-badan that was given to him alayhi salatu wassalam. Read Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya al-Imam Tirmidhi, whereby you find some riwayat from 30 men going all the way to 100 men. Ala qal shay, at least the least views the strength of 30 men. Companion said when fighting got difficult, Ali, Al-Haydar, that you find a lion, the strong one, he said that when fighting got difficult, and they were warriors, they were ferocious, when it became difficult, we would shield and go behind whom? We'd go behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We'd go behind him, because he would carry on. He would carry on. The only time they lost heart is inside the Battle of Uhud, when he was hit. And they began to glorify and said that we've killed the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That's where some companions laid down their weapons and said there's no point carrying on anymore if the messenger isn't around us. Other than that you find, whenever he was there, they always felt that strength. And this is the strength that he always, in Fajr was whereby he would narrate dreams, ask them what were your dreams, narrate to them, transcribe their dreams, speak to them, give them maw'idah, give them admonition. Strengthen their iman, awaken them. And look at us. And likewise we find that waqt al-fajr that we find is the beginning of the prayers we mentioned, the beginning of other ahkam, of siyam, of fasting. So thus it becomes a blessed time, the time of fajr that we find. Aqim al-salata liduluki shamsi ila ghasaqi al-layl. Start the prayer, establish the prayer from the day to the end of the night. And likewise, وَقُرْآن الْفَجْرِ إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودًا. And the Fajr prayer. Hey, ulama made tafsir this ayah. This ayah contains all five prayers. You know these people that you find Qur'aniyun who reject the Qur'an, say the Qur'an doesn't speak about five daily prayers. It's inside this ayah. Establish the prayer from the mid of the day to the end of the night and at Fajr time. إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودًا. Many sahaba they mentioned afdalul waqt li qira'ati al-Qur'an wa hifdhi al-Qur'an wa tadabbur al-Qur'an huwa waqt al-fajr aw qabl al-fajr. The best time to ponder, to reflect of the Qur'an, to read the Qur'an, to recite the Qur'an is at the time of Fajr, because tranquility, peace, away from the hustle and bustle of the daily life, that's where the person should set moments inside their life to recite and to ponder over the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَيَالٍ عَشَرٍ. The 10 days, هُنَا 20 أَقْوَال, 20 different views about what is وَلَيَالٍ عَشَرٍ. The most strongest views are the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, or the 10 days of Ramadan that we find. Once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is placing, making a qasam for us, these are blessed days. Meaning this is opportunity for us believers to avail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't leave us in the darkness. He places these moments, these times, these locations for us to do good deeds so they can be multiplied. So we can gain more reward in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتَرِ By the odd, by the even and the odd. Once again, many aqwal that they exist. The even being the human being, created human being inside pairs. Everything that you find, Allah mentioned, مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْنِ خَلَقْنَا مِنْ زَوْجَيْنِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ So the even is the human being. And the odd, because you find in qira'ah, وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ بِالْفَتْحِ وَبِالْقَسْرِ وَإِذَا كَانَ بِالْقَسْرِ فَهُوَ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهُ وِتْرٌ يُحِبُّ الْوِتْرِ Allah is one, and He loves witr, He loves the odd number. Thus you find that Salatul Witr is an odd number. So based upon this, Al-Witr is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, other ulama mentioned that the even is Jannah, because there are darajat of Jannah that we find, 8 levels of Jannah. And the odd is Jahannam, Ad-Darakat, the levels of Jahannam that we find, which are 7. These are all aqwal the ulama tafsir have mentioned. Wal-layli idha yasri, and the night when it begins to depart. After all these oaths, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Hal fi dhalika qasamun li dhi hijrin. In these aqsam, in this oath, there are signs for people of hijr bima'na al-aql wal-lub, the mind, the intellect, for people with a rationale. That's what the Quran is speaking, rationale, speaking about telling us. There are signs in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, what He speaks, what He says, what He does. Only people who can see that these verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can begin to understand. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to speak about Ad, wa Thamud, and Fir'aun. لِمَاذَا يُخَصِّصْ هَؤُلَاءِ Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak about Ad and Thamud and Fir'aun? When so many other nations were destroyed before. Because Ad and Thamud are nations and tribes that Quraysh visualized. Because they're all in that precinct of Rubbul Khali or Rubbul Qura that we find in that area where you go to the north or the south. You find these are areas that Quraysh were familiar with. So as we mentioned, this surah is a Makkan surah. They can relate towards what happened to the people of Ad and the people of Thamud. وَأَمَّا فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْفِرْعَوْنَ Every nation knows about Fir'aun. Knows about what Fir'aun done. The Fara'ina. What these people, what they were. So obviously these were all things, symbols that were close to them. And likewise to show the believers as well. Look at these tyrannical people as we began with. Now look at the end of these people. These are the peak of tyranny. That we find these are the people, the heads of tyranny. And look at what happened, what we done to these individuals who committed tyranny and oppression of face of this earth that we find. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعْلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ Have you not seen? بِمَعْنَى Have you not heard? Has it not been narrated to you what happened to the people of Ad? إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ A city built upon pillars. هُنَا عُلَمَا التَّفَسِيلَ Imam Suyuti and Imam Shankiti, they begin to speak about how people began to understand this city. They said it was a floating city of gold and silver. وهذه الأقوال بعيدة, the meaning of these verses are far away. But that's how some people tafsir began to write that this great city that they had. But there was an element of truth that it was a great empire that existed. إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ الَّتِي لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ They built certain things that never existed before. That's why some of the athar, the remnants still exist to this day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, فَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ As for the people of Ad, remember we mentioned about how these people begin have power? What's the next stage after power? It's tyranny. It's oppression. So they began to oppress without any justification. وَقَالُوا مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةً Who is stronger than us in power and might? Read about superpowers even today. Listen to their words. Who's more powerful than us? Who's more stronger than us? Who will stand with a war against us? Nafsul kalimat. Nafsul siyaq. Wa naqulu lahum. And we say to them what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to them, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً. Do they not see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who created them? عُلَمَا تَفَسِيرْ هَذِي الْإِشَارَةِ إِلَى ضَعْفِهِمْ. This is a sign towards their weakness. That your essence, you was placed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you try to overrule, over-govern over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one who created you in the beginning and gave you that life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huwa ashaddu minhum quwwa. No one is more stronger and more powerful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ. The people of Thamud who used to chew away in the mountains. That's what you find if you travel to Wadi al-Qura. The people of Salih, the Prophet that was sent to them, you could see the remnants, the athar of the buildings that they made inside mountains. They had the skill was given to them. وَتَنْحِتُونَ مِنَ الْجِبَالِ فَارِهِينَ. They had the skill, the ability to make, chip away in mountains, make palaces, make homes, make dwellings, make reservoirs. That's what this power was given to them. That's how skillful these individuals were. But once again, the end of these individuals were just to be destroyed. Athar left of them. وَفِرْعَوْنَ ذِي الْأَوْتَادِ. And then we come to Fir'aun. The one who had his army who were forever strengthening him. And other ulama mentioned, Autad goes back that two pegs. The pegs that we find, and they say one of the aqwal of this meaning is that we find the pyramids. Because the pyramids are like pegs in their shape that we find that they go up and they go down into the earth. So this is a living sign about these fara'ina, these people existed before. الَّذِينَ طَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ. All of these three groups of individuals, they began to transgress and they began to see corruption upon the earth. فَصَبَّ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّكَ سَوْتَ عَذَابٍ. صَبَّ عَلَيْهِمْ. Threw down upon them, poured down upon them. Just like we say, رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا الصَّبْرَ, to pour down upon us patience. Allah poured down upon them all types of alwan shadida, all types of adab, all different types of punishment thrown down upon these individuals. فَأُهْلِكَتْ عَادٌ بِالْرِيحِ. People of Ad were destroyed with the wind. وَثَمُود بِالسَّيْحَ. People of Thamud with a loud sound. And the people of Fir'aun بِالْغَرَقْ. They were drowned. That's why Surah Al-Haqqa, all three are mentioned together. And all three, their punishment mentioned together as well. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِ حَاصِبًا. Another place inside the Quran, inside Surah Al-Ankabut. For amongst them, the individual, we punished them with حَاصِبًا. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَخَذَتْهُ السَّيْحَة. And some of them, we took them with a loud sound. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ خَسَفْنَا بِالْأَرْضِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَغْرَقْنَا. Some of them, we caused them to delve deep down into the earth. And some of them, we drowned. Meaning Fir'aun. This is the end of all of these individuals. And then comes the ishara. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ. For us, and the glad tiding of punishment for those individuals. Al-mirsad bima'na raqib ala kulli insan. Allah is watching over every single human being. Yasma'u wa yara kama yaqul Imam Shawkani fi tafsirihi. That's al-mirsad. As we began with, don't fret, don't despair, don't worry about taghiyah, don't worry about tughat, don't worry too much about them, don't let it get to your mind. Inna rabbaka labil mirsad. Indeed, your Lord is forever watching over these individuals. Then Allah mentions the human being, the psyche of the human being. فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا. When a human being is given wealth, power, dignity, he says, my Lord has given me this honor because I deserve it. That's the siyaq, that's the context of these ayat. That this person is saying, I deserve this. Does it become grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? هَلْ يَشْكُرْ أَمْ يَكْفُرْ. As we find, speak about Sulaiman alayhi salam, when wealth was given to him to see, لِيَبْلُوَنِي, to see what, test me whether I'm going to be grateful or ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also inside this ulama mentioned, أَيُّهَا الْمَادِيُونَ, those people who believe in wealth. Because this is the same way that we see wealth. Even as Muslims, we think that if Allah's given person wealth and power and dignity, that means he's respected. That's the way even as Muslims we visualize things today. We think this is the symbol that Allah's honored someone. Wealth, power has no representation of honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should clearly understand that. Because wealth and power, يُعْطِي لِلتَّقِي وَيُعْطِي لِلْفَاجِرِ. Wealth and power can be given to a pious one, an impious individual. Can be given to a kafir, can be given to a Muslim. That's not the mi'yar, that's not the form of judgment. That because a person has power and status and wealth, that makes a person more honorable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we find, فَذَرْهُمْ فِي غَمْرَةٍ حَتَّى حِينَ. Leave them inside their ghamra, inside their loss, or the wealth that they have. And the destruction is going to come upon these individuals. And then we find su aqwal al-nas. Then Allah mentions the opposite of the person when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't give them wealth. The person then begins to say, my Lord has left me, doesn't take care of me. After these statements, we find now the actions. Allah mentions the actions of people because this is a general symbol of these individuals who transgress. They don't do the simple basic things. Kalla. كلا بل لا تكرمون اليتيم كلا بكلمة الزجر. They don't feed the yatim. ولا تحاضون على طعام المسكين. Stranger is powerful people, wealth, property, but yet they don't take care of the orphans. They don't feed the poor. Corruption is thrive on this earth. You know, they always try to paint a picture about the Muslims are corrupt and the Muslims are full of bribery and Muslim lands and Muslims this and Muslim that. Corruption is in the core of their lives. Corruption is in the core of their lives. Even this pandemic around us, study the figures about the millions and billions have been spent. For whose pockets? Where is the money being filtered? Study in great detail. I'm not saying study the conspiracy of COVID. I'm saying study where the money has been filtered. Billions of pounds have been filtered. Where? Where does it go? So don't speak to us that our lands are corrupt and we're corrupt. You taught us corruption. You corrupted our people. And you corrupt yourself. And the symbols are there. Because for them, they don't care if people will die. They don't care if people will suffer. But for a Muslim, every single life is precious. Every single individual is precious. Umar al-Khattab, read his seerah, he said that if I knew that a Jewish man was suffering and he dies, then that responsibility is on my head. That's what you call Amir al-Mu'mineen. وَتَأْكُلُونَ التُرَاثَ أَكْلًا لَمَّا. You eat the inheritance of the widows, of the women and the orphan and children. You take the inheritance, you take it away from them. وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. You have this excessive love for wealth. Some of the ulama tafaseer, they mention جَمَّا بِمَعْنَى فَاحِشًا. عَجِيبًا. فَاحِشًا meaning illicit love of wealth. That this love of wealth leads you to what? Towards muharramat. You know, there's various people speak about idols and this, that, etc. that we find. There are idols of graves and whatever that exist inside our society, but there are other idols which are greater that need to be broken. We haven't broken them, and we don't speak about them. This is also part of Tawheed as well. The idol within ourselves, of worshipping oneself, of belief in oneself that we find, of amaratum bisu. والشهوات والشبهات within oneself. Imam Shawkani, inside his, not just a risala, inside his kitab, his book of 300 pages, explaining one hadith, من عادى لي وليا فقد آذنته بالحرب. This hadith, Qudsi, whoever fights against one of my, shows animosity towards a servant of mine of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فقد آذنته بالحرب, I declare war upon that individual. Imam Shawkani writes 300 pages explaining this one hadith. Inside his explanation, he mentions that there was a Hindu individual who became Muslim. And he said, it's easy for me to break the worship of idols. He said, but the hardest challenge that I find inside my life is to break the idol within myself. So it's easy to take people away from idolatry. But the idolatry within ourselves, may Allah forbid, is something that we as Muslims could be suffering today. That yes, we don't bow down in front of statues and idols today, but we bow down to our nafs, our soul, our desires. We can't break them. We can't overcome them. That's the real ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That within yourself, you've broken that. That your soul is one in terms of ibadah lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we mentioned that this life and his wealth and his power and his dignity and even difficulties, all a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Death will come, as Allah mentions three occasions inside the Quran, kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Every single soul will taste death. But inside Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. And we're going to test you with good things and hardships and difficulties and trials. وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. And the end result of all of these trials and tribulations, the end is going to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned towards the end of this surah, كَلَّا إِذَا دُكَّتِ الْأَرْضُ دَكًا دَكًا. Indeed, on that day, when the earth will turn to powder, to turn to dust. Dakkan dakka, crushed after crushed, it turns into powder. That's what Allah will do, that everything will perish, come to an end upon this earth. وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا وَجِيءَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ. Your Lord will come, كَمَا يَلِيكُ بِجَلَالِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Allah will come on that day. وَهَذَا قَوْلُ الرَّاجِحِ in the Ahl al-Sunnati wal-Jama'a. لَيْسَ بِمَعْنَى يَأْتِ أَمْرُهُ, that his command will come, will execute his command. قَوْلُ الرَّاجِحِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, will come on that day. And Jahannam will be bought. You find that 70,000 strands that you find, and each strand you find 70,000 angels will be dragging Jahannam. That's what Jahannam will be. Will be bought on that day that we find. And what will happen to the person? Person will say, يَوْمَيْذٍ يَتَذَكَّرُ إِنسَانُ وَأَنَّ لَهُ الذِّكْرَى. Woe to me, if only I paid attention. If only I remembered. If only I focused inside my life. يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي قَدَّمْتُ لِحَيَاتِي. Woe upon me, I wasted my life. I wasted my life. That's what I've done. فَيَوْمَئِذٍ لَا يُعَذِّبُ عَذَابُ أَحَدٍ وَلَا يُوثِقُ وَثَاقَهُ أَحَدٍ. No one is going to punish like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one is going to grasp and take except for like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the warning that on that day was going to happen to people who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he mentioned that after this, Allah mentions raha, mentions good things. And as we mentioned, Manhajul Quran, that even after mentioning all these fearful things, Quran gives us respite. Quran gives us luxuries. Quran gives us coolness of the heart, the mind, the soul. Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutmainna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya, fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutmainna, the soul which is at peace, at rest. A soul which is at rest, the soul is happy. And Allah is happy with that soul. Now comes the glad tidings of enter amongst my servants, enter wadkhuli jannati, enter into my paradise. Not just Jannah, the paradise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some ulama tafsir, when they conclude his ayat, they mention, Allahumma ij'al nafsi mithla dhalik tilka nafs. Abu Bakr Jaza'i inside his tafsir, he mentioned, he makes this dua, oh Allah, make my soul to be like that soul. Ibn Kathir inside his tafsir, he mentions a narration which is weak, but the dua can be used. He mentions, Allah, Allahumma inni as'aluka nafsan bika mutma'inna. Allah, ask you for a soul which is content with you. Wa tu'min bi liqa'ik, that believes in meeting you. Wa tarda bi qada'ik, and is content with your decree. Wa taqna bi ata'ik, and is content with whatever you've placed upon me, your blessing you've given to me. And that's in conclusion we need to read from this hadith we can extract about the good soul. What is the good soul? Nafsul kalimat inside the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib. Read this long hadith which speaks about the journey of the soul. The wicked soul and the good soul. Read this hadith because inside this hadith it mentioned be said to the good soul. Who's a good soul upon this earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives isharat. Inside this dunya, we find even from this hadith, we find the concept of punishment and bliss inside the grave. It exists. Numerous passages inside the Quran that we find. النَّارُ يُعْرَدُونَ عَلَيْهَا غُضُوًا وَعَشِيًا وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ أَدْخِلُ آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ. Inside Surah Ghafir, the 40th chapter, verse 46 and 47. That you find that they're exposed to the fire day and night. And the day of judgment, they'll be exposed to the greater fire. Ulama Tafasir have mentioned this is the punishment inside the grave, awwalan, and then inside al-akhirah. And likewise, the bliss inside Jannah. Surah Yasin, the 36th surah of the Quran, the final ayah of the 22nd chapter. قِيلَ دْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. It will be said to this individual, قِيلَ دْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. It will be said to this person, go into Jannah. If only my people knew and understood. This Jannah, ulama tafasir have mentioned, is not Jannah al-akhirah. It's the Jannah inside the grave. The Jannah inside the grave will be given to those believing individuals. وَنَخْتِمْ بِهَذَا. We finish with this. Inside one of the maqbaras inside Dimashq. كَانَ هُنَاكَ حَفَّارًا. With a person who's a digger. That you find that in the Arabic language, you find certain alqab, certain titles, it becomes their family tradition, a name. Al-Najjar, Al-Haffar, that we find it becomes the title of such people. So this person used to dig graves. Famous maqbara inside Dimashq that exists even today. Fihi al-ulama wa shuhada wa salihin. They are buried inside this graveyard. So this person used to dig the graves. A woman came to him one day and said to him that, dig this grave. Dig a grave for me. So he dug the grave. And after a few hours, a body was brought. Not many people were with this body. And the woman was there. They lowered the body and he placed the body inside the grave. And as he placed the body inside the grave, you find light began to illuminate inside the grave. And as that light came into the grave, he saw two people on horseback, dressed in white clothing. They came and they grabbed the body and they rode off. He saw that, the light, and he saw that vision and he collapsed inside the grave. And they pulled him out the grave and he began to narrate to them that this is what he saw. The people just thought nothing of it. You know, just maybe just seen something inside there. So he just let it be. A few months later, the same woman came back again. And she said to him, dig me a grave. So he dug a grave and after a short while again, few people came. And as he placed the body was placed inside the grave, same thing happened again. The grave expanded, light came there. These elements, they rolled in and took the body and they left. But this time he was ready. He didn't collapse. He came out the grave and he followed the woman. And he said, Ma Sha'nuki, what is this? You came twice to me. And this is what I saw, what I visualized. What is this? She said that these were my two sons. These were my two sons. Amma al-awwal, as for the first one, فَكَانَ طَالِبَ الْعِلْمِ. My first son was a student of knowledge. He was a student of knowledge. وَأَمَّا الثَّانِي كَانَ نَجَّارًا. As for the second one, he was a carpenter. And the money he had, he would spend on his brother. فَكِلَيْهُمَا سَوَى فِي الْقَبَرِ. He would earn his money, spend it on his brother to help him to learn Islamic knowledge. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with these two individuals. This Hafari came out, when he came, he went to one of the sheikhs and he narrated a dream to him. And he said that I no longer want to be a digger of the grave. I want to become talibul ilm. The sheikh said to him, أَنْتَ فَوْكَ أَرْبَعِينَ قَرِيبْ خَمْسِينَ الْآنَ. Where was you before? Why now you want to study knowledge? Why do you want to study knowledge now? And he narrated his dream to him and said, this is the reason why I want to become a student of knowledge. So he began to, the Sheikh began to begin with a basic teaching, an Ajrumiyah, basic book of Arabic language. He began to study and read, etc., until he became one of the most profound ulama of Damishq, Abdurrahman al-Haffar. And to this day, a lineage of ulama from the same individual. That's what inspired him. That's what drove him, that vision inside there. There should be a vision inside our lives that we now today in this pandemic, most of us are seeing death every single day. We're seeing death every single day. If that doesn't awaken us, then only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what will awaken us inside our lives. What will awaken us to make us to begin to prepare ourselves, within our souls, to be content with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have this liqa, this shawq of liqa, shawq of desire of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to die in a state of obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to have mercy and to forgive and to pardon all the previous Muslims who passed away and those who may pass away from this pandemic and this COVID virus that we find. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon their souls and to not make hisab and accountability upon them, make it easy for them, enter them into His Jannah.